everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 279 for Thursday, March 17th, 2016. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Alex. I know you're excited.
I'm pretty excited.
Do you guys celebrate St. Patrick's Day, or is there like a weird English-Irish?
No, we do. There's stuff going on.
So do you all pretend you're Irish for a day like we do?
Some people do. Not kind of as much of a big deal, but yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Phil Nickinson. We are Android Central. That was Alex Dobie.
Hi.
You are not Irish. You're a little green. Your camera makes everything look a little green.
I'm green?
Well, now you're turning red. But anyway. Wearing red, Jerry Hildenbrand.
What up?
That's it? That's all we get?
That's it. That's all you get. That's it. I can't think of anything.
Andrew Martinick.
How's it going?
It's going. You look cool. Clean shaven and I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty much the defining factor of my looks is whether or not I've shaved.
Simple man. Welcome to the show. 2 weeks in a row we are doing a proper show, not from the road. I kind of like that. So much easier. Sounds so much better.
Good to get back in the groove, the regular weekly podcast.
It kind of is, yeah. And, you know, I mean, soon enough, we're going to be off that again. Google I/O invites are going out. I mean, that's still a month and a half away. Samsung's developer conference is at the end of April. You got to figure out who's going to that.
Yeah.
So, let's just get to it. I want to start with voicemails this week, because I feel like starting with voicemails. How about that? Is that okay? Is that all right with you guys?
Yes. I mean, do we really have much of a choice? You're pushing the buttons there.
You do not have a choice at all, actually. So, let us start with our old pal, Jean-Paul.
Hi, guys. It's Jean-Paul. I have a question about app updates. I have a situation where an app removed a feature that I need that I find key. So, I just went ahead and didn't update that app to keep the feature that's been taken out in the newer version. That was many versions ago. It's probably been about a year. And I've been wondering, does having an older version of an app on my phone like that open up any security vulnerabilities? Like if that app was updated with some security patch, you know, am I leaving my phone vulnerable by keeping an old version of that app? Do you guys have any opinions about that? All right. I appreciate the insight. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, yeah. I mean, answered your own question there. If I fix something in an update and you don't take the update, you were missing that fix. Period.
Well, I mean, you're only missing out on the security if that app developer had a vulnerability in the app and updated in that app.
Yeah,
it's not compromising your entire system of some sort.
The biggest thing I would look at is, does the app in any way connect you to this company's server somewhere? And if so, was there improvements to the security there? As far as, you know, exploits on your phone, yeah, it's possible if he's using a new API level that, you know, it's more secure. But that's a tough one. I would do it. I would let an app sit forever on an old version until it stopped working if I needed a feature. But I do a lot of stupid things.
Look, I'm of two minds here. One is I get it. It's your phone. You're the user. Do what you want. As the guy who's in charge of, you know, pushing out updates to the Android Central app, good God, people, update your apps. Look, we're a pretty niche app, right? And I'm surprised at how many people just don't update. I think we're currently at, let me look. I can look right now.
Well, the people that install our app are probably most likely to be hitting the Google Play Store often and updating apps.
See, too. You would think that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's so surprising.
You would think that. So 37%.
You were making mention of it.
Yeah. I mean, 37% are on the most or the second most recent, like major build we put out. The one we pushed this week, the big one with search, we did like a blog post and everything. It's up to 13%. I have to look back. Number three is version 28. There are two ways you talk about versions in Google Play. One is like the version, you know, 2. whatever. The other is just a straight number, like here's which build it is. And I mean, we're talking The biggest one is back from, it's a year old, guys. I mean, the next biggest one is a year old.
So now these, are these people who have that installed and are actively using it on that version? Or
that's
is it like, you know, you installed the old version of the app and that's on a device that's no longer used or whatever?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And we've got more analytics for that I could probably dive into. But I mean,
it's got to be some large, some amount, but there, you know, there are people that are five, six versions back because they just, they like the way it works or something, and they don't want to update.
Alex, is there just something wrong with us? Like, if I see an app and it needs to be updated, I update it. I can't help. I have to update it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you got to remember with newer versions of Android that it doesn't always just push updates in the background like it used to. You got to be plugged in. You got to be on Wi-Fi. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. But yeah, when you talk about an app with a million downloads or whatever, that's, it can be a pretty wide-ranging demographic of users that you have to deal with, and not all of them will want to visit the Play Store, and sometimes they'll just wipe away that update notification when they see it. So
my other problem is not just when you don't update apps, but when you actively use old versions of apps, my take is you're going against the will of the developer. There's a reason they put time and effort and money into fixing stuff or putting new features out. And I get that sometimes things go away or maybe don't work the same way you want, but that one's a little tougher for me to swallow. As the guy who has to push the buttons. And that's a big part why I'm not big on these app repositories that stockpile old versions. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we pushed it. We've got something better. Quit using the old one.
Fight the man, never update.
Well, and we even offer the beta and alpha tracks for people that want to be on an earlier version too. So it does go both ways. For the people that want to stay on the old version for whatever reason, there are people who want to be on the bleeding edge and want to see every little new feature too.
Yeah, it's just, I think on principle it's a bad idea to not update. Just because there can be, you know, security concerns.
Yes, there is a reason why the developer updated their app. They're not updating it just for fun.
Anything else on that? Anybody?
Nope.
This next one is really long, and it's actually normally, you know, longer than we would normally play, but I think it's really good, and it's a good segue into what we can talk about next. So hang on. Here comes Eric.
Hey, guys. My name is Eric Peterson, and I'm calling in, emailing in, voicemailing in, whatever it is I'm doing, because I had a different take on Android N, the developer preview, and how Google is splitting Android into a core OS part and an interface part. I was a developer for many years, and a lot of what I did was library integration. We get a library from somebody, open source, from another vendor, whatever, and then I would work to make our code and their code talk to each other through the API. And when I thought about updates, it always seemed like there was something that got messed up whenever we took an update. It might have been an API change that we just had to work around or adjust to, but a lot of the times it was just, they changed something and they did it wrong, or they made something that pointed out a flaw in our code, or sometimes it was just, you know, two teams misunderstanding each other. When you've got something as complex as software and you got two teams working on it, that's going to happen. So I don't see this as a huge revolution in Android updates, and maybe y'all don't either. I mean, I think it could make getting updates out easier because it's kind of cordoning off this area that that vendors shouldn't touch. But, and it could also help with, you know, the really deep-seated, nasty security flaws, you know, something that's far away from the API layer. It just depends on what they change and how much they change, and, you know, how, you know, if they change what the API does or not under the hood. To me, this is more Google saying, okay, this is the part of Android that you shouldn't be touching, and here's the part of Android that you should mess with. Kind of almost like what Android Wear is doing, but on a smaller scale. And I think it's a smart move, but from my experience at least, and maybe I just had some bad luck, there's still going to be a lot of testing for the vendors to do, even if they get on board with this idea. And there's always going to be the temptation for somebody like Samsung or LG to still go in and tweak something. I know we had that temptation too. Just wanted to throw that out there and get your take. Thanks for letting me voicemail, email, whatever it is I'm doing, call in. and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
First, podcast at androidcentral.com.
Right.
Send your voicemails there.
And Eric, that was Eric, right?
Yes.
You can voicemail us every week with these kind of questions, please.
No, that was really good.
Yes, it was. And he's dead right. This is going to be a mess.
Again, assuming what you wrote, and right. to recap, but, Jerry did a really good job, I think, of explaining how it looks like Google's moving to, for lack of a better term, separate partitions for the really important stuff versus the stuff the manufacturers can mess with.
Right. And I think the most important thing, and Eric nails it, is this will let Google address the really low-level stuff when there's a security flaw. The high-level stuff that people like Samsung or LG are going to want to mess with, they're still going to mess with it, and it's still not going to be easy, but the dirty parts underneath, they don't have to. They don't have to touch that, and that's good for us. Whether or not it's good for the vendors like LG or Samsung or whoever, I don't know, because Eric nails that too. Every update breaks everything. There's just no way around it. They break. So maybe this will be more work for them to add their customizations, at least at first. You know, this if we're going this way, this is a new system and things will have to adjust. But I think it's very important that Google is at least appearing to take more control over their stuff. Google's name is on every box of every phone that runs Android. And, you know, whether or not it's Google's fault that the mess everything is in now is debatable, but it's still, it says Google on the box and they needed to do something. And it's nice to see a move in that direction.
Is what's to keep the manufacturers from just saying, no, that's all right, thanks. We don't really
Nothing.
Want to do it that way.
Nothing. The source code is there as long as they still meet the stipulations to get Google's services and apps. That Google's already in trouble all over the world for, you know, anti-competitiveness. And any steps they would move to go even further with that would just get them in more trouble. So
well, I mean, Google already limits which versions of Android you can use and still have their services on a phone, right?
Right.
I think, you know, two or three versions back or whatever it is. Would it really be that big of a step to say, okay, in addition to that, here are a bunch of things that you don't get to mess with? Which there already kind of are, right? There are UI things that you can't change, et cetera.
Every push Google moves in that direction, there's going to be a lawyer in the EU. Let's call them out. That's going to push back. And, you know, they're at a balance now, and that's just a very slippery slope. I'm not saying it can't happen, and I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, but that's something that you don't know how it can go down until somebody tries it. I wouldn't bet on Google being able to get away with that.
Again, we're kind of way ahead of ourselves, but it's an interesting proposition.
Well, it's actually looking more and more like what I thought I was seeing is actually what I was seeing. Some other people have looked at some stuff. Somebody from Forbes was talking to some people at Google. I think we nailed that. I think that it really is what we're seeing.
Cool. So let's just kind of transition into N now that we've been using it more or less for a week. Again, if you're just joining us, Android N developer preview is out. We are in our first iteration of it. This is early code to allow app developers to start playing with some of the new APIs and to start getting things ready or not. I was talking to Mike Wolfson, who does the Android Central app, among some other stuff. And he's like, look, man, I don't want to go anywhere near this for a while, like, you know, a long while, or at least as long as we can, because like, there's still stuff in our app on like Gingerbread that he's dealing with and trying to code out and fix and stuff like that. I mean, it's good for like bleeding edge type stuff, but there's kind of no reason for anyone to be really getting ahead of themselves, right?
Depends. I wouldn't fault anybody who said, screw it, Lollipop is my target. If you're older than that, I'm sorry. But I can see the reason why you wouldn't want to do that too, so
Yeah, I don't know if, I mean, at some point we're going to have that discussion internally with us. And like, at what point do we have to abandon some older phones? I don't know. But what, I mean, now that we've been using it for a week, what are you guys seeing that we didn't see in the initial hours a week ago? I mean, Alex, you've been kind of pouring all over this thing, right?
A lot more crashes than I saw last week. it's had a lot more opportunity for more apps to be installed, for things to break, for, you know, the inevitable instability and weirdness to come forward. I think we got a tip on like some Wi-Fi calling was enabled for more carriers. I've tried it on EE. It comes up with a message saying it's enabled. It does not work, as far as I can tell. So I guess Google's just adding more carriers to that, which would make sense. I think they already brought some in Marshmallow. Multi-window is working in a lot of apps. In a lot of apps, you get a weird message saying this may not work in this app. Some apps like Instagram are just kind of horribly broken in general. So just the usual standard stuff that you would expect from a very early developer preview. And if you're looking for something that you can reliably use as a daily driver, we're still a good few months away from that, I think.
Yeah, Instagram is impressively broken in many ways.
But that's notoriously been the case
sure.
every time Android updates. So we can't act surprised.
I don't want to out who it was, but like I'm seeing these experiential sort of reviews out there that are failing to call this a developer preview in the headline, and that bothers me because I don't think we can say that enough.
And it's also the first developer preview. It's not even like we've had four or five updates where they might have fixed blatant crashes and, by the way, added additional APIs and features that they want people to see. It's like, man, it's really, really early.
I mean, I think if we ever get to the stage within a developer preview where it is to the point where you can use it every day, it'll be when the APIs get finalized, when apps are able to be published on Google Play, and where the emphasis is more on testing apps that have already been developed for it and less on just, hey, here's something really early that you can make work with your apps if you want to.
I don't even want the developer preview to be stable. Like that indicates that, I mean, there are problems in Marshmallow that need smoothing out and fixing on the Nexus 6P and 5X. You can't expect Google to be, you know, piling a ton of developers on fixing crashes in the end developer preview. That's not the point of the developer preview.
Let's make sure Gmail sync works all the time before we do.
Yeah, they're working on that apparently.
This one headline I saw, and again, it doesn't even matter who it was, and this was somebody I know fairly well and trust fairly well.
Stop him, Phil. Stop him.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, who knows who writes headlines? But it said it was not for the faint of heart. Well, no, it's not for the faint of heart.
It's not really for anybody.
It's for developers. So
where does that put you in this fact that they offer this Android beta program, of course, targeted for developers, but where it'll just push an OTA to your phone then?
Stupid. Stupidest thing Google's ever done. And we saw that. Google had to turn around and do something they've never done before and release an actual OTA file on their own server because people weren't prepared for a bad update. But Google made it so easy to update. And I'm not being the elitist guy. In fact, if you have a hard time using ADB, jerry@androidcentral.com. I will walk you through it. Everybody should be able to do it. But nobody should be able to update their phone to a test version of the operating system without knowing how to go back.
The other thing is, if you look at the wording of the Android beta program, it actually says it is specifically for Android not just developers, but Android enthusiasts and developers. And they're really pitching this as more for people who just want to mess around with a new version of Android, who maybe won't understand that if you do this, things will break and the only way back is to wipe your phone. For people who are maybe traditionally just want to dip their toe in the water of a new version of Android and understand that when you're dealing with this and you have to flash system images, then, you know, there are consequences that go with that.
And I mean, I've said it before, I'm going to say it until this thing comes out in the fall. What Jerry said is 100% correct. Like, if you can learn how to do this to the point where you can flash them without issue. Jerry will tell you, it took me a while. It took me, you know, the better part of a couple of years because it's not like something you do every day. But once you get that down and understand what it is you're doing and why you're doing it, it makes it, I'm comfortable with it now. So much easier. I have no problem doing the stuff and going back and forth. And that to me is so much safer than yeah, just clicking twice and hey, I'm a beta user now. Well, I'm really not.
I got emails from people that I don't have a phone. I need your help. My phone won't boot. I don't have another phone. What do I do? And that, man, that's Google right there. That's Google's fault.
Yeah.
And I just don't like it at all.
Again, we've kind of had to make the distinction between what's new and in so far that we know of and what's new and in as we see them on Nexus devices.
Right.
Are there any?
Which is a lot of the stuff falls into that second camp.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about what the settings menu looks like, these new notifications, all these little mostly interface things. Those are only in on, you know, modern Nexus devices. That just in the same way that you look at a Nexus 6P and you look at an LG G5 or a Galaxy S7 and the interfaces look different, it's going to be the same thing with N. I mean, none of this stuff, the visual stuff matters for anybody who's waiting for N to come out to their non-Nexus phone.
Right. Anything new in that regard, though, that we've seen in the past week that's like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. I tell you, for me, it was today. I finally got input on a tablet, and the notifications, I think, look so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done the tablet yet.
When they've got some space around them, like on a phone, it's just notification, and it takes up the entire width. On a tablet, I think it looks really good. So I finally put it on the Nexus 9. Be interesting to see how that changes.
I've been using my 5X with the preview, tried to use it as my everyday phone.
And that's what I've got it on too.
Yeah, it didn't work. But for a few days, I still really don't like the lack of an icon in the notifications. But I'm getting used to it. I can see why it may be better for a lot of people. And it may even be better for me to actually read and see what's going on than trying to pretend I know everything just by looking at a quick few words in an icon.
Well, it's definitely a higher density in the notification tray that you have to get used to. Yeah. And it looks really busy, especially if you're somebody who, I mean, you know, if we don't have 5 unread emails sitting there, just wait a couple minutes and you'll have 5 right. unread emails sitting there. It definitely gets a little overwhelming, especially when, you know, I couldn't use my Nexus 6 with N on it for any decent amount of time. So it'll sit on the charger for a couple hours and I'll pick it up and you'll just see that pile of notifications. It's a bit overwhelming. I'm not sure how that would change if I was more on top of it, if I was carrying it, you know, every single minute of the day.
I remember we're critiquing the look and feel of something that is in the very, very earliest of early stages. And there is every chance that you could still have these super expandable notifications in something that looks a little bit less busy in 4 or 5 months' time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just trying to, I mean, one neat thing is even with Doze being a little broken mm-hmm. in the preview, I haven't charged the Pixel C since I got it on Saturday, and it is now Thursday. I haven't used it much, I mean, but it's set there idle, and it's still got more than half of its battery left. So when they get Doze more perfected, or maybe it works better than we think it works right now, but that's nice to see.
I've replaced my Pixel C. For those of you who don't stalk me, I RMA'd it after grew a weird crack. I have no idea how.
From a cold marble countertop.
Oh, stop it.
that is no, a callback.
So I returned it and then bought another one now that we had that discount. I keep wanting to like do a, hey, it's been 3 months since it came out. Here's what we're seeing now. But it's like nothing's changed.
No, it's the exact same.
Maybe it works a little better, but
I mean, all the dust is collected in those 3 months.
Yeah,
a bunch of people have asked me what I think about it, and you know, give me another week, I'll write something on the site what I think about it. But right now, I still like my Nexus 9. I like the size a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Anything else on N for this week? I mean, there's not a whole lot new. We're still, you know, kind of poking through the features, but again, you need patience is, you know, we can go through every tiny little detail and that we see in, you know, 2 weeks, but it's going to change anyway. So
if you installed N, bug reports, people.
Yeah.
That's your, you know, that's the other side of the coin. That's how you pay to get to be a beta tester. Well, that sounded stupid, but that's your responsibility. You need to hit the bug reports button and let it send whatever data. Google's not going to come to your house and steal your kittens. They just need to know data about what went wrong so they can fix it, so the next developer preview is better. And that's the important thing.
Oh, I've got it on the Nexus player over here, but haven't really seen
it. Oh, yeah, that thing exists.
Yes, it does.
Any better with N on it, Phil?
No. I tell you what, I noticed today, like, it's still missing just a lot of apps when I was updating all our NCAA tournament apps. It's like,
I don't know what you're
a
thinking.
A lot of the Android TV apps, that's not a Nexus player problem. Android TV apps in general are just so low quality.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to use them on the Shield TV, and it's awesome because the Shield Android TV is so fast, but you know, it'll open that app really quickly before it force closes again, or streams for 30 minutes and then just stops inexplicably.
And come on, developers, the Shield TV, how much is that now, Andrew? $300?
$200.
Okay. $200. If you build amazing freaking apps for this $200 streamer, and really, I've got an Apple TV, I've got a Roku, I've got Google TVs, you know, all kind of crap hooked up here behind me. Android TV on hardware like the Shield TV is freaking amazing. Build the apps. People will buy it if they have a reason to buy it.
And the, you know, there's of course the handful of apps and especially games that run really well on it.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, your average, a lot of the content streaming apps from the cable companies or the different networks, they're just so, so bad. And the experience now is no better than the day that the Shield TV came out, which, you know, wasn't the first Android TV box. The extra hardware obviously means that it's not a sluggish experience like on a Nexus player or something, but it's just so bad.
I think the other problem is Chromecast is just too easy and too cheap.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times I'm using the Shield TV just as a Chromecast target.
Yeah. Would you build an entire app just to run and not that you have to like rebuild it from scratch to work in Android TV. But
it's a lot easier just to add that Chromecast button to your app. I mean, I look at the Major League Soccer app. They have Chromecast for their streaming games, and you know, there's at no point am I wanting that to be a separate app.
All right, I think that's it for N this week. We'll be back next week when nothing else has changed in N yet and see what else we found. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about new phones because I've got a whole bunch of new phones here and we've got more people with more phones. So hang on.
Bones, you say.
Bones. If you haven't done it yet, go to harrys.com and use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. Well, wait. Go do it now. All right, come back. You're back. Harry's offers high-quality razors and blades for a fraction of the price of the big razor brands. Started by two guys who wanted a better product without paying an arm and a leg for it. They make their own blades from their own factory, an old blade factory in Germany that they like so much, they bought it. We're talking about high-quality, high-performing German blades crafted by shaving experts that give you a better shave that respects your face and respects your wallet. Harry's offers factory direct pricing at a fraction of the big brands. The blades are about half the price. Plus, you don't have to wait around for some guy to come unlock that anti-shoplifting case at the drugstore. I hate that. They ship the blades and the razors and the creams and everything directly to your door. The starter set is an amazing deal. $15 gets you a razor, moisturizing shave, creamer, gel, and three razor blades. When you need more, they're just $2 each or less. An 8-pack of blades is just $15. A 16-pack is just $25. With Harry's, you get the convenience and ease of ordering online, high-quality blades, great handle and shaving cream, excellent customer service at half the price of the big brands. This is what I use, boys and girls. So get started with a set that includes a handle, three blades, and shaving cream for just $15 shipped to your door. Go to harrys.com and use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. $5 off. Five, Jerry.
I'm not allowed to have sharp things, but if I were, I would go for $5 off.
So I feel like I've set up like 500 new devices in the past 3 days.
Not 500, but pretty darn close.
It's so... start
between
with
the four of us probably pushing it.
I have a pre-production LG G5 here.
Gasp.
Yeah. So pre-pro hardware, things aren't quite perfect. Pre-pro software.
Wait.
In one way, it announces itself as the G-Flex 2. So I don't know what they're borrowing. But anyway, it's partly why I haven't written about it yet. But it's here. I've got it. Sort of. There are parts about it that are still pretty good and parts about it that are like, what? And I want to talk about launchers and home screens and app drawers in a second. Because to that end, I finally got an XBit Robin. I'm like the last one to play with this thing, finally.
Well, we could talk about the other phones that we have that are not G5s, unfortunately.
We could talk about the Galaxy S7, I guess, again.
You actually have the Galaxy S7 Edge for real.
Actually have the real Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, and by the real one, I mean the real proper actual one with an Exynos chip, not with a Snapdragon chip.
Sure.
Like you guys. So, I've been enjoying it. It's I'm going from the GS6 Edge Plus before on Marshmallow, where you really inherited a lot of these features through that upgrade. It's not a huge change from that. The thing I'm noticing, at least in the Exynos version, is just the battery life is an order of magnitude better than what Samsung was doing last year, and it really needed to be. But it's I think the first, I've been using Samsung phones for a long time, it's the first Samsung phone I've used that you could say, okay, you could comfortably get through a day and change with this. It's maybe not 2 days if you're pushing it hard like we tend to do with phones, but I don't think there's anything that I could really reasonably do to this phone that would kill it before the end of the day.
Yeah, I was getting, obviously it was a pretty tough week of traveling and things like that when I was reviewing the GS7 Edge. So it was a full day, just like the Note 5. But now that I'm more in, a usual spending time, a lot of time on Wi-Fi, not looking at the phone every 5 minutes, it's easily through the day with 30% left, which, like Alex said, is not something you normally got from any previous Samsung phones.
So we've got an article. I mean, Phil's back now, but we'll just finish this point off. The thing that kind of struck me about this going from the S6 series with the Marshmallow update is you kind of get more out of that software update than you do changing hardware from a GS6 to a GS7. You get all the new features. You get, it's way faster. A bunch of things work a lot better, like the fingerprint reader works a lot faster, I found. The UI is all there. It's not like the weird update that you got with a Note 4 last year where it's kind of some of the new stuff and some old stuff and it doesn't work very well. This is basically the entire GS7 UI on your phone from last year. And it's a good thing that Samsung's done that. That's not something that most manufacturers still do. I don't think the G4 is going to be getting an update to the new LG UI anytime soon. It's a good thing.
And the performance is really good on the Marshmallow update on last year's phones, too. It's not something where it lagged behind because they added in all the features. And I wrote looking at people that want to upgrade from the GS6 Edge to the GS7 Edge, and same thing for the GS6, GS7. But it's like, well, if you got the Marshmallow update already, which it's rolling out,
it's 99% of this phone.
Right, you got a lot of it, and you already had a lot of it with the software. So basically, the only thing that you're getting there is a little bit of future-proofing and a way bigger battery. But it's like, well, you're looking at selling your last year's phone and spending $400 for this new one. That's a bit of a tough ask.
Like I was saying to you guys last week, the regular consumer in me was still pretty much completely satisfied with the GS6 Edge Plus after that update.
That or the Note 5, yeah.
The what?
Yeah. Or the what? Sorry. So I've been bugging Jerry all morning. I was reading through our GS7 forums, and kids are going nuts about battery life and how much system is showing up in the battery stats. And honestly, this is the first time I'd even looked at how much of my system was being used.
And you can add this to the same discussion of people finding that they don't think Doze is working.
Yeah, a little bit. Jerry, is this something I need to worry about? Because, I've been using a GS7 for, 3 weeks now, just about, and haven't once worried about how much system has been used.
Well, that's the thing. Seeing a lot of use by Android system in your battery stats first off, it's not that Android system has used, let's say, 30% of your entire battery, but the 10% of your battery that has been used, 30% of that was used by Android system. They don't give you a lot of background on what you're seeing when you look at those numbers. And that's a problem. Some people just don't. They see, oh my God, the Android system used 45% of my battery. No, it used 45% of the amount of battery that was used.
And also your phone has just been sitting there off. You haven't right. actively been using anything else. So, of course, the background processes in the system are using a lot.
But, I mean, and a lot of people are, oh, here comes the hate mail. Android maybe isn't quite robust enough to do all these things some of these OEMs throw at it and have it do all at once. You know, I'm not saying that it's bad or that it's poor, but, you know, and the next version of Android will be better, but this is software. It was designed to do a certain amount of things. And when you throw more on that pile, it affects how it works. I can tell you from experience that an LG phone or a Samsung phone will use more battery to power the Android system processes than something from Motorola or a Nexus phone. And that makes sense. Look how much more a Samsung phone or an LG phone is doing. You know, you need battery to power that. But this whole thing, in the end, when you go to bed at night, is your phone still running? Because one way to fix all this is to put a bigger battery and a more efficient processor in it. And that's exactly what Samsung did. So if there is an issue, they've already tried to fix it. I don't think it's something that most people need to worry about. If you find your phone is not getting the battery life you would expect, and that doesn't mean, oh, I need to charge at noon. Well, if you've sat and watched 6 hours of Netflix since you got up in the morning, you're going to need to charge at noon. That's normal. But if you are using your phone, you know, lightly and your battery's not lasting, or if you just think it's not lasting as well as it should, go into the forums and talk to, there's a lot of nerds in there like me, and they love to go over these numbers, and they'll ask for screenshots, and they'll give you some tips on things you can do. I don't like to shut anything off on one of these $800 phones that we buy that are designed to do a bunch of stuff. And most of the time you don't have to, but there are tweaks, especially, you know, this is new. A month from now, when Samsung pushes out an update that, you know, quality improvements for such and such and bug fixes here, that's the kind of stuff they address. I think they did a good job, and I am not a Samsung fan, but I think this is the best Samsung phone I've ever seen. And I don't think it's as big of an issue as some people are worried that it is.
There have been other things that have worried me more, and you know, a number of people saying like the buttons stop working all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, that's not good.
And I think just from what I've read, that sounds like a software thing. And I don't know if it's apps interacting funny or what, but it didn't sound like a hardware thing. So enough people were saying once they rebooted, it was fine.
Right.
It's still not good, but
it's a real thing.
But
it's happening to enough people, but it's an inconvenience. It's not a deal breaker. It should not happen at all. And you know, somebody at Samsung is sweating bullets
sure.
to get that fixed. But worst case scenario, you hold the power button for 10 seconds. And when it comes back on, it's fixed. So,
and this isn't an excuse, but if you look at how janky a lot of the release firmware on Samsung phones has been in previous years, it's a lot better than it was.
Yes, absolutely. I don't have one here, but I got it to play with, you know, three or four. How many did we have in Atlanta? Three, four, something like that.
Atlanta.
Yeah. And every one of them, it's more responsive, and it still closes background tasks faster than I would like. But I think Samsung has struck a decent balance there. People can argue with me, but the Note 5 was absolutely unusable for me because I could only do what I was looking at. Everything else behind the scenes just got killed.
Which for me is absolutely fine.
Yeah, we're all different people. But the S7, it does that much better. You know, that's Samsung maybe listening to some people that have complaints. If it doesn't work for me, it just doesn't work for me. But if Samsung can do something to make it better and it works for me, then I'll think about buying it. And I think they did a great job.
for me at this point, it's still like that is the phone for any normal person who doesn't have a reason to buy it, a specific reason to buy some other phone to get at this point. Playing with it.
Yes. I mean, I've, after only using the GS7 at the briefing, you know, when we got to take a look at the phones a little early, and then reviewing the GS7 Edge, now that I'm back with the proper or the prime GS7, as Phil likes to call it, I just...
Only because it makes you mad.
Yeah. I'm all about the regular GS7 and not the Edge. I mean, this is like Phil said, if you don't have a specific reason that you want like the bigger screen or you want something else, it's absolutely a fantastic phone.
The larger screen and the more battery are absolutely legitimate reasons to get it.
Sure.
But I just think, all things being equal, the size and the overall performance and battery life. And again, I think I went back and read it because somebody was trying to give me a hard time about what we said about battery life. And I remembered what I wrote, and I went back and looked at what Andrew wrote. And I don't think either one of us really sang the praises of the battery. I think we both pretty much said it's adequate. And I would stand by that now. I still find myself having to look for a charger toward the end of the day, but not at 3 p.m. before I even leave the office.
And the thing is, it depends how heavy of a day you've had.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, while Phil was off figuring out his internet, Alex and I were talking about how, you know, if you take it easy on the Galaxy S7 Edge, especially, it'll just go the whole day and you'll have plenty left at the end of the day. And that's not something that, even on previous Samsung phones, even if you took it easy, it didn't make a difference. The battery graph just went down at a 45-degree angle no matter what. And it was going to be dead at the end of the day, and that's not the case anymore, which is awesome.
I've had a fun time trying to figure out Android Auto on mine, because it's just not working. I'm getting closer. I almost
you
had it
and 16 other people are really mad.
I'm just saying, it should work.
It should. There's no excuse for that. That's Google and Samsung should have got together and made sure that worked.
This
right out of the box.
Rectangular phone that like 200 of us have, and more than 200 people have it, but worked fine right out of the box. So, I mean, it can happen. LG G5 pre-production works.
Nice. You mean the G Flex 2?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to
talk about the G5 a little bit, because you dropped off before.
It's a G5. So I tell you what I really want to talk about in a second is app drawers. It's not a bad phone. I tell you, I kind of like having the wide angle camera as an option. But like we just said, would that be a reason for me to actually go buy this phone? I have to have it because it has a wide angle lens.
You get a lot of pictures of scenes with your fingers on the very edge of the frame.
Yeah, that's going to take a little getting used to. But
that's one thing. It's like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think in 2 months you're still going to be taking wide angle photos with that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I think it's gonna maybe be an alternative to usual panorama mode, maybe. Because it's always kind of annoying to do that, and inevitably you'll chop someone in half, or there'll be weird stitching lines or something.
And in 2 months, if you are still using the wide camera, is that a reason to have the phone? I mean, obviously it's one of a lot of different small things.
Yeah, it seems like LG's doing a lot to differentiate, but the overall message maybe isn't quite there.
Yeah. My bigger question, and we were talking about this yesterday, because LG announced it's going to have a developer conference for these modules, because they're saying they're open sourcing the modules, which really just means they're going to give instructions for anybody to be able to build these things. But these modules, this just can't be a one-off. They can't just do it for the G5 and then, oh, look at that, the G6 is, you know, a little different shape, a little different size.
Well, they can.
They can.
They're not going to.
It would be monumentally stupid.
Right. There's a lot of even just software engineering, let alone the hardware hurdles to get this done.
Isn't it kind of dangerous to just let anyone make a thing that you can plug into the bottom of your phone that just takes over portions of the hardware?
If it depends on how they're doing it. I mean, we don't know that yet. I think we need to send Andrew to the LG conference, and he can tell us all what they're doing. Smile, Andrew.
But you would do that and just get like LG rolling bots would just chase him into a corner and devour him.
But I mean, there are ways where LG can still control the software and just give an interface for module developers to, you know, to connect to. I have no idea how they're doing it. I'm really curious how they're doing it. I really don't think the G5 is going to be for me. I'm waiting for the V11. Bring it on.
Well, so there's my question. And I almost want to go so far to say is if they make these modules the way they're talking about making these modules, they almost have to work in the next V phone, don't they?
You hush your mouth.
How?
That's what I'm saying. It'd
be physically impossible.
But again, to go through that sort of development for one line of phones just...
You know, it struck me weird, especially because when they announce the phone, they have two modules, and one of them is pretty niche thing, the hi-fi one. And even the cam one, you could say, is kind of niche. And you didn't tell us how much they cost, and you only made two... And then you're still trying to say, like, this is a big thing.
I mean, LG's answer to this is going to be everyone that makes these modules has to make another version for the V10 or 12 or whatever, and another version for the G6, and it's just going to be a mess, and it's going to be abandoned and swept under the rug with the G6, because LG has a short attention span, and there'll be something else next year.
Yeah, I mean, even if they do, you know, continue the idea of the modules to the G6 and the V12 and the V14 and the G7, whatever they're going to do, they're not going to be physically compatible. So, I mean, even if you kept the idea of the modules and the way they interacted with the system the same, it's not like you're going to be able to buy this cam module for the G5 and then plug it into your G6 when you get it. They're not going to keep it physically the same. So,
why?
At that point, why does it even matter?
Why not, Andrew? Because what is the benefit of them changing the dimensions so it only works with one generation of one phone?
No, they're not going to change it specifically so that it doesn't work. I think that they would, if anything, try to make it compatible. But the phone, people are not going to take nicely to the phone looking the exact same. And LG is not in a position in which it can make the phone look the exact same. And they've shown no propensity to do that.
Exactly, yeah. LG has, if you look at the way things have changed over the past 3 or 4 years with them, every single year looks completely different. It would not be a very LG thing to do at all for the G6 to come out and look exactly the same. What manufacturer could get away with that beyond Apple anyway?
That's troubling.
And if they are going to, it's really going to bite them, because this module thing is not going to be a majority. It's not going to be a draw for the majority of the people that buy the G5 anyway. I just don't think that the modules themselves are going to be the selling point that wins over enough people that it makes sense to retain those people by keeping the phone looking the same versus the number of people they lose by not changing the design of the phone.
Basically, yeah. And by the way, I had the camera one for a couple more days. It's just not good.
And so let's talk about how the camera actually charges the phone itself, because the way LG explained it was that the math was dodgy anyway, but they explained it with having a 2800 milliamp hour battery plus, okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, 1200 milliamp hours in the camera grip, and yet a total capacity of 4000 milliamp hours. But the way it actually works is it charges the internal battery for a brief time off the external battery when you press a button on the camera grip. And
so
as Jerry will tell you, thermodynamics and all that, you don't, that's not the way, you can't just double up capacities like that. That's not the way things work.
Hang on, when you first fire up the camera app with this thing plugged in, you get a little pop-up, and I don't think I've showed it to you, Jerry. I'll send it to you. It says, you can take a photo or record a video with the Cam Plus keys. When you press a Cam Plus key, your phone will be charged for a while by the battery in Cam Plus.
But that's not 4,000 milliamp hours. That's not the way it works.
That's stupid. It's LG, your electrical engineers, series and parallel. You know what to do.
Now, again, pre-production, I have to caveat all that.
Well, that's
that,
in the software, though, telling you that it charges for a while.
It's pre-production it could well say something else.
That's
in
not
two
even
weeks.
As good as a battery case, a battery case just charges the internal battery all the way.
It's really crappy trickle charging. All the worst parts of a battery case with the additional inconvenience that it's just this weird size that doesn't really charge very much.
It's really weird. And it's just, it wasn't uncomfortable to have in my pocket. And I was a little surprised about that. It's still just not comfortable to hold. It doesn't.
Well, what's the benefit there?
I've got pictures of it
Why would you not just, we've established that the camera controls themselves are crap on there. Why would you not just have a separate removable battery that's in that camera coffin, in the battery coffin thing that LG makes? Have it in another pocket. How about that? Because, you know, it's not strapped onto the back of the phone, and just swap it out when it's dead.
I don't want to damn this phone before we properly review it. I think Alex is probably going to do the review, and we'll certainly have second opinions like we've been doing.
Yeah, I think the bigger point there is that these things aren't making a lot of sense, and this is like what's supposed to be one of the pillars of the G5, and it doesn't make any sense right now. And that's really, like, that's a little worrying that it's one of the big features and it just doesn't really work.
In and of itself, it's not a horrible phone, just using it as a normal phone.
Have we established that the camera, the main camera, is basically the same as last year?
Probably. I haven't taken a lot of shots.
Not a bad thing, but still worth mentioning.
Yeah, but again, pre-production, so I'm not putting too much into all that yet. The one thing I do want to talk about briefly, though, is app drawers, because we've seen people just going nuts over, LG didn't have an app drawer. It's horrible, blah, blah, blah. Nextbit Robin doesn't have an app drawer either by default, though it does come loaded with Google Launcher as well, which is kind of an odd
thing. Well, this kicked off with the Honor 5X earlier this year, especially because, you know, I had problems with the software, as I think any respectable person had problems with that software. And everybody said, oh, we'll just install another launcher. No, the app drawer is so far down on the list of the problems with the Honor 5X's software that it's not even on the list.
Well,
but it's like people have gravitated towards this thing. Right. It's like it's a visual difference.
You're writing your list and you're just writing onto the table. You're off the end of the sheet of paper by that point.
So people gravitate towards this as the one visual thing, you know, the app drawer. Oh my gosh, must be what's wrong with it.
The internet said that Google's doing away with the app drawer completely in Android.
Google will do away with the app drawer just in time for Huawei to bring the app drawer into their software.
Yeah, and that's why people are really freaking out. I don't think Google's getting rid of the app drawer anytime soon.
Well, we've already seen it would be gone in the preview if they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
They will not make this big of a change at the very end of the developer preview.
And the G5 doesn't have an app drawer, right?
Right. So
the reason the G5 doesn't have an app drawer is the same reason the icons are all rounded.
But they're not all rounded. That's the problem.
Well, they're mostly rounded. The LG icons are all rounded, aren't they?
Is there an app drawer module you can stick in?
I mean, I can show you mine. You know, the Chrome app is not rounded. Here's my thing, though. Even if they did get rid of the app drawer, those of us who know and care about these things can and probably do install another one anyway. So it's not
another
like
launcher.
It's not like the phone in and of itself is broken without an app drawer. Now, that said, I think an app drawer is absolutely the way to go, if only because customizing your home screen without an app drawer is just, it's hellacious. It's having to move apps from page 6 back to page 1. That is not a fun experience. Now,
yeah,
LG,
your average, go ahead.
LG does give you the option to hide apps just wholesale, which is good. But I still
your
think
average smartphone owner, you pick up their phone, their home screens are already an absolute disaster.
Yep.
And that's with an app drawer.
That kind of brings me to, I think I wrote it in my G7 review, and that probably one of the most important things you can do to make a phone usable at this point is to just almost just nuke the home screen as it stands when you first boot the phone. You have to customize this stuff.
Oh,
you have
yeah.
to move apps around. You cannot leave things alone.
I don't want that damn folder that says Google on it on my home screen with all that garbage
exactly.
I'm never going to use. Yes, get rid of it. Do it yourself.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not completely opposed to Samsung's launcher. I survived with it for a week. And then, you know, I went back to my usual. I went back to my Google Now launcher that I use on my other phones. And Phil goes to Action Launcher, and somebody else may go to Nova, or somebody else may go to, you know, whatever else they like.
But
it's like, that's not going to change. If the default launcher takes away an app drawer, that doesn't mean you can install another one.
But at the very least, you have to move your apps around. Please. If I come find you on the street, and all your apps are exactly where they were when you first, you know, when all your Verizon apps are still front and center, and you've never used them a day in your life, I will stand there and I will help you change your phone. I will help you change your home screen. I will help you download a new launcher. So I'm going to have more.
We'll help them download the Android Central app as well.
Yeah. All right. Hang on. Be right back. We'll do some Q&A and then we're out of here. We're all expected to do more in 2016 with less money, but especially IT departments. And that includes the really important stuff like stopping spam and virus attacks. End-of-life announcements for trusted hardware and software options make these decisions more difficult. First Postini went away, now MX Logic. Well, who can you trust to do the job well and actually stick around? Well, try MailRoot. MailRoot will protect your email and your hardware against spam, viruses, and other attacks. There's no hardware or software to install. If you own your domain, that's all you need to use MailRoot. MailRoot's team has focused exclusively on email protection since 1997. Some of you might not even been born yet. Their interface is easy to use and loaded with admin tools, including an API, and it's all designed to make your life spam-free. Right now, MailRoot is offering price matching for McAfee and MX Logic customers. So stop spam today with a free 30-day trial of MailRoot. Just go to mailroot.net, that's mailroote.net/android, or email sales@mailroot.net. Our listeners get 10% off for the lifetime of their account. MailRoot protects your email from spam and viruses. That's it. That's all they do. And they do it better, and they've been doing it longer than anyone else. Again, that's mailroot.net/android. Have a lot of thunderstorms here again today. It's been like 2 weeks since we had a tornado. Wee, ATM.
Good run.
For the Q&A, Ryan wants to know, are you expecting the Nexus 5 and Nexus 7 2013 to officially get released final finished versions of Android in or to not get them? I'm going to say no.
Nexus 7, no. Nexus 5, maybe. We won't see a preview for the Nexus 5.
I mean, what do we get for the 2012 Nexus 7? That was kind of a surprise when that got, was it Lollipop or Marshmallow?
They got Lollipop.
Lollipop, yeah. I think. Yeah.
It's so mine sitting dead in a drawer from the Lollipop update.
I haven't heard from anybody that they're working on anything for the Nexus 7. Doesn't mean they're not, I just haven't heard anybody talking about it.
I think it's more a case that not the hardware can support it, but the support contract with Asus or whoever has just run out, and no one on either side of that relationship is interested in making it work, because no one's buying Nexus 7s anymore.
Right, you can't.
It was released in July 2013, guys.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be more than 3 years old when N finally drops. So
let it go. It was really good. I really liked it, and my kid still uses it.
Still works just fine.
I wanted it to come back. That was the right size.
It was a good size. Moises wants to know, I just got a new GS7 Edge and just found out there are actually two camera sensors out there in circulation. I happen to have the Sony IMX260. Should I be jealous of ISOCELL?
Wow, you got the better one. Boom.
Oh. I actually checked this because, Samsung does this with pretty much, well, they don't have the past two phones, I think. Some are ISOCELL, which is made by Samsung. Some are Sony X-More RS, and there's not really a whole lot of difference that you can tell. I mean, the fact that you have to look in a special menu to find out which one you have should tell you that there's really no difference in day-to-day stuff. I guess if you have the ISOCELL one, then there's bragging rights because it's the Samsung one and it's the one that they made for their own phone, but really it's not something you want to worry about. For the record, I have ISOCELL.
For the record, I had no idea which one I had, nor did I particularly care.
For the record, gold Nexus 6.
Nothing wrong with that answer. Damon asks, if you had to pick a smartwatch right now for biking stats and route tracking, which would you pick? Almost picked up a Moto 360 Sport today, then read reviews of poor battery life and how it's geared entirely toward running, so I skipped it. I would say don't get one, period.
What about the Sony?
I would look at more of a dedicated fitness tracker more than a smartwatch in that respect.
I haven't used it. Would we not recommend the Sony one at this point? It's been kind of a while since that came out.
That one's really old at this point.
I mean, I think the wrinkle here is that he's looking for biking.
Right. Yeah.
Which is it's usually beyond that. Your average smartwatch is really about steps and maybe running and resting heart rate. Beyond that, you want to start looking at, getting a Fitbit or something.
Android Wear doesn't cut it. It told me the other day I walked 2,700 steps. I haven't walked 2,700 steps in 10 years. It doesn't do well judging movement at all. It's just not there yet.
It's for the casual person that wants to know, I walked X amount of steps when I went to lunch today.
If you're actually out power walking, you know, it may be fairly accurate because that's an entirely different movement than it is rolling a chair or riding a bike. That kind of movement, it sucks at it. And that's something they need to work on.
Bingo. Austin wants to know, do you think Google will ever give the Pixel C Bluetooth stylus support?
Do you want Bluetooth stylus support?
Wait, I thought...
I mean, it supports regular Bluetooth styluses just like any other tablet can, but it doesn't support like the Surface Pen or the Apple Pencil where it has all the fine points of pressure sensitivity and all that jazz.
We'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure that enhanced Bluetooth stylus support, which includes pressure sensitivity and all that stuff, is just part of Marshmallow on every device.
Thought it was too.
I've never looked at it, so I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work.
I just didn't think that it had the same, I could be wrong, the same level of pressure sensitivity and tracking.
Of all the, you know, problems with the Pixel C, a lack of stylus support is not high on that list for me.
And I just think the fact that it was never marketed as using a pencil and Google doesn't make a first-party stylus for it is kind of the indication. I mean, geez, they made first-party keyboard accessories and they kind of suck too, so I'm not sure you'd want that anyway, but sorry.
Now I have to figure that out because that's going to bother me. Austin, send another email to the podcast if you've got a specific stylus you've looked into, because I want to dig around a little bit.
Finally, Ryan wants to know, besides the two announced modules, that would be the battery camera grip thing and the B&O high definition audio, high fidelity, whatever.
Hi-fi play or something like that.
Yeah. What would you like to see for the LG G5? What other friends would you like to see?
Label printer.
You've said that several times.
I am dead serious. My wife would just, she'd be the first person to buy one if she could print the labels that she needs to print without having to walk back to her desk and pick them up. You know, maybe that's a pretty niche case, but if it makes my wife happy, my life's easier. No,
I think there are lots of people unwilling to walk back to their desk to pick things up, Jerry.
Well, dude, we're talking a 2,800 square foot warehouse.
Well, now you're showing off.
Well, stop it. You be quiet.
I tell you,
my wife to be happy, so she'll be happy.
What's really interesting for me, I picked up an accessory grip for my camera. So, like, I've been kind of comparing this a little bit to the weird camera grip on the G5, and like, it just makes me hate the G5 that much more, or hate the camera grip thing. The Cam Plus.
You can't take that back. You're not going to be able to take it back.
We came up with a few ideas around MWC when we were all just kind of spitballing, trying to come up with things that would go there.
Yeah. I think I came up with a taser would be a good one for...
Taser would be excellent.
But the problem is that we could only come up with like just kind of random, like, oh, that'd be kind of neat. Not something that, I would spend $150 on that.
We had the exact same conversation that LG's R&D had about 6 months ago.
A projector would be cool. It's my understanding that this is a USB-C interface, so just about any data source can go in or out. Anything that you've seen another smartphone do should be able to be done with a module.
In the parallel port.
that I know that's possible, but...
Well, Jerry said just plug one in that gives you a micro USB port at the bottom.
But I tell you, the other question is how many of these modules we dream up would also need to have some other battery source in them before they're just not...
Well, no, you just put a little solar trickle charger, and when you press the battery button, it'll just stop.
So we said in this post, and it's like a proper extended battery back, so not one of these weird cam modules, something that goes the full length and that hooks in.
That makes the phone about a foot long or something.
Yeah, a big speaker, a wireless charging base, you know,
stuff
like that.
I said a burning laser, a lawnmower.
Yeah, a thermal camera attachment.
The problem is all of these, because of where these things are positioned, it would just make the phone, like the camera grip does, it would just make it totally unwieldy and just horrible to use for normal phone stuff.
Just, you know what? Don't build anything like that. Build more rolling bots with bigger lasers.
Like
big four-wheel drive rubber treads. Just build a bunch of those. That would be great.
Rolling Bolt the cup holder so it can bring you a beer.
Oh, my God. One that comes when I call it by name. I would name it Phil. Come here, Phil.
Podcast at Android Central, if you want to send us an email. You should send us a voicemail. Those were two good ones this week. Next week, we should be, you know, normal again. I don't have anything weird coming up. My kids are on spring break. Should we have them on the podcast?
Oh, yes.
Do it.
They'd do a better job than any of us.
Maybe we'll do it for the beach or something. That'd be fun. Anything going on with you guys that I need to be aware of? And, you know, all the people at home.
I'm playing Powerball, so I may not be here tomorrow.
Fair enough. So, yeah, podcastingandroidcentral.com. Send us your stuff. Love hearing from you. That's it. Let's just get out of here. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you. Everybody at home, thank you guys.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, thank
everybody
you.
Everybody watching, hi, bye. See y'all next week.
See you later.
Bye.